Good morning, and welcome to Trinity Lutheran Church in Alamosa. We're glad you tuned in today. Trinity Lutheran is located at 52 El Rio Drive in Alamosa, Colorado. Pastor Jason Cody and the congregation at Trinity Lutheran welcome you to join them every Sunday, in person or right here on KSPK. And now, let's take you live to this morning's worship service with Pastor Jason Cody.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Sorry for the weird look there. There was a manila envelope up on the altar. Does anybody know what happened to that manila envelope that I left up on the altar? Nobody that's here anyways. Okay, well, I'm sure it didn't go too far. What's in it is very special. So welcome to our congregation this morning. It's great to have you here. And you come on a special day because what's in the envelope is really special. And I'm sure it's here or there somewhere. I imagine Laura took it back to the office when she saw it. But what's in it is special because that's what we're going to do first in our service is we have a special prayer of thanksgiving. And what a blessing God has given to us. In that, what's in that envelope, which is now, I'm pretty sure, in the office, locked safely away, is the final paperwork on the mortgage of our church. Because God has blessed us in such a way that we were able this last month to pay off our mortgage, which is incredible. So that's what our prayer is to thank God for that. So we wanted to start things off with a prayer of thanksgiving for that, and then we'll continue on in our service with our hymn of invocation after that prayer. So let's pray to the Lord in heaven. Gracious and loving God, who always showers your people with your gifts. Lord God, many years back, members of this congregation gathered together and made a difficult decision to expand the building here at Trinity by taking a loan. Lord, we all know what that's like, to take on debt. Lord, they did it in faith and in hope. And Lord, this morning, we together celebrate the amazing gift that you've given to Trinity in allowing them to continue in the service of the gospel, providing word and sacrament ministry to those who enter and those outside. And Lord, you have brought that debt to a close. And for that, we give you thanks and praise, and we worship your holy name today for that blessed and amazing gift. Thank you, Lord, for retiring that debt. We thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Awesome. We want to welcome those who are tuned in on the radio this morning as well. Thanks for joining us for our service that way. Everybody who's in the sanctuary, thanks so much for being here. The church is a great place once a week to shake off the world. Huh? Because the world's rough. And we all know it. But here you don't have to worry about that. I don't have to worry about that. We think about what Christ has done for us, the blessings in the sacrament and in the word preached, and we're overjoyed to be together for that. Today, today our service begins with our hymn of invocation. That's hymn 842 in the hymnal in front of you. Son of God, Eternal Savior. We sing that hymn together now, and we do invite the congregation, if you're able, to please stand on the last verse of that hymn this morning. Let's sing together hymn 842. What's that? 663. Is there a typo in the bulletin?
You have last week's bulletin.
I have last week's bulletin? Can I have this week's bulletin? Man, I'm going to start to think that Laura is messing with me. If you're listening, Laura. Because she took my things off and maybe gave me the wrong bulletin. Love you, Laura. Okay. Now we're rolling. Sorry about that, you guys. Well, that makes more sense. Thank you. Appreciate that. We are going to sing our hymn of invocation, which is 663, Rise My Soul to Watch and Pray. Let's sing that together. Thanks for being here. begin in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let us then confess our sins to God our Father. Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us, forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen. Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. We continue with our gradual this morning from Psalm 34. Fear the Lord, you his saints, for those who fear him lack nothing. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. We continue with our Kyrie. In peace, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For this holy house, and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord.
Amen.
Glory to God in the highest, and peace to his people on earth. Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Almighty and merciful God, it is by your grace that we live as your people who offer acceptable service. Grant that we may walk by faith and not by sight in the way that leads to eternal life. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. All right, well, we're doing something different today, something new, and that is that after our Old Testament reading, we're going to invite the young ones up to the front for a short children's sermon. So young ones, you might be prepared to come up here after our reading. Our first reading this morning is from Genesis in the 15th chapter. After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. Fear not, Abram. I am your shield. Your reward shall be very great. And Abram said, O Lord God, what will you give me? For I continue childless, and the heir of my house is Eleazar of Damascus. And Abram said, Behold, you have given me no offspring, and a member of my household will be my heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him, This man shall not be your heir. Your very own son shall be your heir. And he brought him outside and said, Look toward heaven and number the stars, if you are able to number them. Then he said to him, So shall your offspring be. And he believed the Lord, and he counted it to him as righteousness. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks
be to God. We invite the children up for our children's sermon. Hey guys, just want to sit in the pew right here. Just come sit right here in this pew. Wonderful, how are you guys doing today?
Awesome.
Awesome, cool. Wonderful, yeah, so we do have We do have a really special reading for today. Did you guys hear what I read from Genesis while I was reading it earlier? Did you hear what happened? No? So, Abraham didn't have a child, and he wanted to have a child. And so he asked God, oh, come on up here, Gus. Sit down there next to your brother. Good job. He wanted to have a child, and he didn't have a child. And so he asked God if he was going to give him one. Or if he was going to have to leave everything he owned to some strange guy in his household that wasn't even his son. And what did God tell Abraham? Do you remember? What? Go ahead. Yeah, he told him that he was going to have a son, and he took him outside, and you're right, Danica, to number the stars if he could count them. So that makes me wonder, have you guys ever tried to count the stars up in the sky at night?
No.
No? You, oh, yeah, you don't get into stargazing either? No, that's okay. It's for some people. It's not for everybody, Joseph. Yeah, yeah. What's that, Danica? Right. Sometimes you see the Big Dipper, the Orion's Belt, or the other constellations. Sure. Here's my question for you. Are you ready? Do you think we could count the stars? Do you think that's possible?
No.
No? You could count five. You could count five. What did you say, Aaron?
There's way too many. Plus, you'd have to travel all the way around the world.
You'd have to go all around the world and... You could count 1,000. Yeah, you did. Oh my. Good job. There's so many stars in the sky, up in the heavens, that we can't count them all, right? Is that true?
Yes.
It's impossible, right, Joseph?
Or maybe both can be in the sky made out of stars.
That's possible, yeah? That's an interesting idea, too. But here's the point. You ready? The point is there's too many stars to count. There's billions and trillions upon hundreds of thousands of trillions. There's so many that no human being could ever count them. So Abraham, he's not going to be able to do it. God can do it, Aaron, you're right. But Abraham's not going to be able to. So here's the next question. How is it possible that Abraham's going to have that many children? One guy. The point is that there's going to be that many children as there are stars in the sky. So how is it possible? Go ahead, Tanika.
Because God. Nothing ever.
Amen. Because with God, nothing's ever impossible. But this is the point I want you guys to hear, okay? Who are the children of Abraham? And how could there ever be that many of them?
All the people in the world.
The people? So that's really close, okay? So all the children of Abraham that God's talking about in the story, those are all the people that believe in Jesus in all time. All God's people. okay, are all the children of Abraham. Okay? Did you know that? It's true. But they're the children of Abraham how? By faith. Our faith in Jesus makes us the children of Abraham. And so he was talking about you and me and everyone else in this room today when he told Abraham that. Did you know that? That's pretty cool, huh? True. All right. Well, that's a good lesson. So let's bow our heads, fold our hands, close our eyes, and we'll have a prayer. Are you ready? Gracious Lord, we thank you so much that even long ago with Abram, you promised that you would make us all children of Abraham. And Lord, there has been so many who've lived on this earth and believed in you and trusted in you that I'm sure the number is great and amazing like the stars in the heavens. Lord, continue to bless us with faith and strengthen us. Be with each one of these young people that are up here today. Protect them, Lord. Go with them and strengthen them and continue to increase their faith. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, thanks for coming up. You can go back to your parents and your seats now. Okay, thanks for coming up. Soon. All right, thanks so much, guys. We continue now with our epistle lesson. It's from the book of Hebrews in the 11th chapter. Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. For by it, the people of old received their commendation. By faith, we understand that the universe was created by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of the things that are visible. By faith, Abel offered to God a more acceptable sacrifice than Cain, through which he was commended as righteous, God commending him by accepting his gifts. And through his faith, though he died, he still speaks. By faith, Enoch was taken up, so that he should not see death, and he was not found because God had taken him. Now before he was taken, he was commended as having pleased God. And without faith, it is impossible to please him. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists, and that he rewards those who seek him. By faith, Noah, being warned by God concerning the events as yet unseen, in reverent fear, constructed an ark for the saving of his household. By this, he condemned the world and became an heir of the righteousness that comes by faith. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to a place that he was to receive an inheritance. And he went out, not knowing where he was going. By faith, he went to live in the land of promise, as in a foreign land, living in tents with Isaac and Jacob, heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city that has foundations, whose designer and builder is God. By faith, Sarah herself received power to conceive, even when she was past the age, since she considered him faithful who had promised. Therefore, from one man, and him as good as dead, were born descendants as many as the stars of heaven, and as many as the innumerable grains of sand by the seashore. These all died in faith, not having received the things promised, but having seen them and greeted them from afar, and having acknowledged that they were strangers and exiles on earth. For people who speak thus make it clear that they are seeking a homeland. If they had been thinking of that land from which they had gone out, they would have had opportunities to return. But as it is, they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared for them a city. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Invite the congregation to stand now, if you're able, for our Alleluia verse and the reading of the Holy Gospel. The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 12th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said to his disciples, "Therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat, nor about your body, what you will put on. For life is more than food, and the body more than clothing. Consider the ravens. They neither sow nor reap. They have neither storehouse nor barn, and yet God feeds them. Of how much more value are you than the birds? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his lifespan. If then you are not able to do a small thing as that, why are you anxious about the rest? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass, which is alive in the field today, and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O you of little faith? And do not seek what you are to eat and what you are to drink, nor be worried. For all the nations of the world seek after these things, and your Father knows that you need them. Instead, seek his kingdom, and these things will be added to you. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give to the needy. Provide yourselves with money bags that do not grow old, with a treasure in the heavens that does not fail, where no thief approaches and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Please be seated. We join together in singing our sermon hymn now. That's hymn number 801, How Great Thou Art. Let's sing.
Thank you.
Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. This morning, our gospel reading was speaking of a very important topic, and one that I don't think that I'm necessarily qualified to completely address because I struggle with it myself. But Jesus' teaching about it is important, and we need to hear what he's saying, because who could say they don't struggle with anxiety? It's an epidemic in our culture. Anxiety is. It tears down our bodies and our hearts and our minds. It takes away our energy. And it can even steal the joy from our days and our nights. But there's a thought about what God might be doing. The good he might be working with the bad of anxiety. And what if God wants to use it for another purpose? A higher one. What if he wants to use it to refocus us on him in new ways and to teach us to trust him in ways that we did not know we could? So I want to start right here with a question. What is anxiety? The Mayo Clinic defines it this way. They say intense, excessive, and persistent worry and fear about everyday situations. Webster defines it as apprehensive uneasiness or nervousness, usually over an impending ill. The word that Jesus uses, the word that we're dealing with in the original language of Greek, is the word merina. That's what's translated to anxious in our reading this morning, merina. And if you go and look up this term in the Greek New Testament, what you'll find is that it isn't always translated just to anxiety or anxious or something like that. But in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 25, that same Greek word is translated there to care. Care. And in Philippians chapter 2, verse 20, that same Greek word is translated to being genuinely concerned. Concerned. So care and concerned. And I think the Greek can help us here a little bit with what we're really dealing with when it comes to anxiety in our own lives. Anxiety is how we feel when we care or we're concerned about the lesser things too much. Jesus knows exactly how we are. And so he starts off right away in our reading, comforting us, telling us, don't be anxious, he says, about your life, about what you eat, or about your body, or what you will put on. For your life is more than food, and your body is more than clothing. He's teaching us, if we can hear him. He's teaching us he wants to help, and he wants to simply change our focus, to draw our focus away from the things that are lesser to the things that are greater. From the cares and concerns of this life to him. And that's a tall order and a big teaching, isn't it? We said in the beginning of the service, when I was working off the wrong bulletin, if I'd have known that I was going to do that, I'd have been quite anxious about today. We said the world's tough, and we all know it. The fact is, we're concerned too much about the lesser things, and as a result, we have anxiety. I have to ask this question in light of our text and what Jesus is saying. What if there was someone who would take care of all of the lesser things in your life? They'd give you all that you needed for this body and this life. Would it help us not to be so anxious and overwhelmed? Would we still be concerned about getting those things? Would we still be afraid that we might lose the things that we have if there was someone, anyone, who would just guarantee to help us and make sure we have those things? See, it would only be if you angered the giver that you'd have to worry that they would stop providing those things, because if that person was happy with you, they would keep providing over and over all the things that we need for this body and life. Take a work analogy, for example. If another employee is mad at you and doesn't like you, it stinks, but it doesn't really matter, because as long as the boss is happy, you don't have to worry about losing your job. Your colleague can't fire you. I think Jesus is kind of getting at this stuff. We're worried about anything and everything except the one who really matters. He often gets left in dust on the shelf. So he says in verse 29, not to seek the lesser things at all. In fact, you heard the reading, right? He even said that we should just get rid of that stuff because it's not really helping. Go sell those things, he said. It's because he doesn't want us hung up on them. He knows what it does to us. The fear and the anxiety that we get from these lesser things. Food, clothing, stuff. I think it's amazing the way Jesus treats this, because he's going to tell us exactly what not to worry about. Don't be anxious about your life, he said. Really? Is it okay not to be worried about that? About my life? Yeah, your life belongs to him, and so does mine. We can't make a single hair change color on our own. We can't even add 1 hour, Jesus said, to our lifespan at all. We're really not in control of these things. So why would we worry about it so much? What you eat? It sounds like maybe Jesus is just coming up with a few, you know? He's just saying, well, let's talk about this one and we'll talk about this one. I don't think so. I think these things are foundational for every single anxiety we have. How much time do you spend worried about eating, what you're going to eat? Some of us spend a lot of time thinking about that. Why? Because we're afraid we're going to get fat. Or fatter, like me, right? We are. We're worried about this so much. It encompasses us that we can't even enjoy our moments. Because we're going to get fat. We're going to get fatter. It's taken over our world, this anxiety. It's gross. It's terrible. And it's a constant focus on these lesser things. Of course, in our country, those are the issues, right? In other countries, people are actually worried about what they might get to eat because there isn't enough food. The first world problems that we deal with. Not about your body, what you look like. These things overtake us. And we know it. Think about the things that you're anxious about in your life right now. I guarantee you they're in one of these categories. Mine are too. What you will put on? Oh, gee. Life is more than these things, Jesus says. So much more. If you look at what you're worried about and what you're anxious about, it'll show you this. It'll show you what you really care about. Simple as that. Show us exactly what we love. If you look at Genesis 15, Abraham was worried about what? Having an heir. That's where his anxiety was. And God provided for him and gave him a son. and so many offspring, as we talked about with the children. I think it helps to think about ourselves like we have two settings. The two settings are a high-powered caring or concern that could give us anxiety, and also a more of a low-power setting where we have to trust. Abraham, he's hooked up high-power setting on this heir for his household. And God comes to Abraham. Abraham's so fixed on it. He says, "What will you give me, Lord?" He wants it. It's where his high-power caring set. God gives him the promise. And notice what takes place in that text. God literally refocuses Abraham from worrying about an heir to where? To himself. To trusting in God's promise that he made. And Abraham did trust him by grace. And the text says it was accounted to him as righteousness. And God is doing the same thing for all of us. He's refocusing us away from the lesser things that we've got our high power care set on, and to himself. He wants us to use the low power version of our care that trusts for those things of the earth and set the high power on him, because he's the one who's giving us everything. He's the one who provides. He's the boss. What if Jesus speaking this morning is speaking exactly to your situation? When he summarizes things, what's it going to gain us to set our high power care on the things of the world instead of the one who provides everything? It literally doesn't make sense. All it does is work us up and make us miserable and make us feel alone. And we're never alone. He was with Abraham, and he's with all of us. He's with you. He'll never leave us, he said. He'll never forsake us, he said. He said, "Lo, I'm with you always until the end of the age." Do you notice when you feel anxious, it's because all the pressure's on who? It's on you. And it makes you feel alone in your problems. And like, nobody can help me. God can help. God is with us. We're not alone. When Jesus says, "Look at the birds of the air and the lilies of the field," he's showing us that they exist in God's care without all the anxiety, without all the worry. They let God worry about those things. We can too. We should. He's leading us to do that. He's always there. He's always with us. The Apostle Paul says, "In him we move and live and have our being." What if God's willing to worry about all that stuff for you? Do you think it's actually true that if you just focused on him and his word, that he would provide all that stuff? And you wouldn't have to be anxious about it? That he'd fix the problems and you wouldn't have to worry about them anymore? Well, wouldn't that be a relief? That's what he's telling us this morning. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. He's going to care for us. He's saying, "You focus on me, brother, sister, and I'll resolve whatever's giving you anxiety." He can see forever. We can only see in the very, very short, blinded situations. So he knows the best outcome and the best care for us in any situation. He's going to provide for us, and he's drawing us and refocusing us on him. The fact is, we're all not quite as powerful as we think we are. He's in control of what he's giving to us and what he's bringing to us and what he may be even removing from us. If we think we're in control and we think we're alone, and if anxiety has got us all locked up, God's word breaks into that today and says, "No, it's not you, and you're not alone. God is in control, and you and I can trust him. He's here with us even this morning. So many are lost in their cares and anxieties, but you he brought here. He brought you here to hear this message. He's chosen you. He's made you his promises. He's made you his own child in the water of baptism to take those cares and anxieties away from us, off our backs, so we can live free and know that he will solve those problems for us. What a relief that is. It's a big deal to be a child of God. A real big deal. So pray. This is one of the things anxiety does, is it draws us away from prayer. It makes us feel alone. And the scripture says, cast your cares and your burdens onto him. So we come to him in prayer. We tell him what we're anxious about. What's got us locked up? Since he cares about us. Since the boss is happy by Jesus' sacrifice on the cross and his resurrection, there's nothing that God has against you. Jesus has taken it all. You're forgiven of all your sins because of the blood of Christ. There's nothing between you. He's here to help. Listen to the Apostle Paul real quick in Philippians. He says the same thing as Jesus. Do not be anxious about anything. But in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God that passes all understanding will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. That's the scriptures telling us. Tell it to God. He's willing to help. He's able to help. Nothing, as Danica said earlier, nothing's impossible for God. He looks at you and he sees his dear child. Whatever has got you anxious, have you told him? Cast those cares onto him. That's what I want us to do this morning when we come up to receive the sacrament today. Just a real quiet prayer like Hannah. Remember when she was anxious because she couldn't have a child and she went to Shiloh, to Eli in the scriptures, and she said this prayer and God fixed the problem. I want you, when you come up for the Lord's Supper today and you kneel down or you stand, I want you to just real quietly so nobody else can hear. I want you to finally let it go, whatever it is that's got you all wrapped up. I want you to leave it up here. I want you to tell it to God, and I want you to know that he promises to work it out. He's gonna work it out. Because you're his child, his baptized child, and there's nothing too hard for the Lord. Nothing is. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, may the peace of God that passes all understanding keep our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. This time we invite the congregation to please stand, if you're able, as we confess our faith this morning to the words of the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God,
the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father. For us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was
We now come to the time in our service for our prayer of the church. Our response for our prayers this morning is, hear our prayer. Almighty God, increase our faith, Lord, in your wise ways and in your gracious will. And Lord, keep us from a reliance on our own plans, on natural powers. Lord, keep us from being fixated on the lesser things in this world. And Lord, help us, we pray, to trust in you and strengthen us to understand and always believe that in you we're counted righteous, in your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Lord, in your mercy. Lord God, Heavenly Father, you clothed us with your mercy and delivered us from our sins, that we may be your own and live under you in your kingdom forever. Lord, place your blessing upon the proclamation of your word and prosper the work of all pastors and church workers in their various callings. Lord, especially we ask that you bless Ben Davis and the congregation in Taos, New Mexico, where he was installed and ordained yesterday as a pastor. Lord, continue to bless the work of that congregation. Lord, bless those people being called into your service, those preparing for church work vocations. And Lord, we also ask that you bless all seminaries and all our concordias. Lord, be with those who learn your word therein. Lord, in your mercy. Holy Father, you promised great and abundant blessings to Abram, which he believed by faith. Lord, bless the hearts of Christian parents to prize the gift of their children, to work in their lives for the good of the generations yet unseen. Lord, in your mercy. O Lord, because we are weak and powerless apart from you, defend us against all our enemies and bless our nation and those who lead us, especially our president, governor, Congress, legislature, and all judges. Make them wise and endow them with a good heart, that they may seek justice and show mercy, especially on behalf of those who are in need. Lord, in your mercy. Merciful God, you know our needs before we ask, yet you invite us to pray for health and healing, comfort and consolation, and peace. Lord, deliver those who are sick. Lord, grant peace and comfort to those who struggle with anxiety. Lord, help them see that you're in control and you will care for them. And grant your grace to all who cry to you for mercy. Lord, especially we name before you this morning those in the prayer of our church, Izzy Wieskamp, the family of Johnny Rendon, Connie Hauser, the family and friends of Peyton Sanchez, Letha and Tom Hershey, Jairus Yetzi, Helen Almdale, Brandon Jones, Lauren Ohawe, Jeff Autopolik, Frank and Audra Rendon, Greg Gonzalez, Larry Reinbarger, Rob and Ingrid Miller, Rupert Gallegos, Ella Gonzalez, Debbie Ford, Betty Gray, Sandy Santisteven, Betty Patton, Sonny Rumler, Don Hermanson. And Lord, we also lift up to you those who are in the Elk and Lee fires here in Colorado, those affected by them, including our preschool director, Annie's mom and dad, and friends and family, and all those in the community of Rio Blanco and Garfield counties. Lord, hear us as we bring these before you, and also hear us as we bring to you those who are on our hearts silently at this time. Lord God, we bring these names to you and these situations to you because we know that you care for your people. Rush your aid to them. Make them full of hope and bring them full healing of body and soul according to your will. Lord, in your mercy. Gracious Lord, grant your Holy Spirit unto your servants who would by grace recline at your table this day. Enlighten us all, Lord, that your word is a lamp to our feet, that we would be dressed for readiness for the coming of the Son of Man, both now and at the end of days. Gracious Lord, I pray that whoever's in this sanctuary this morning that's struggling with anxiety, that Lord, you would lift that burden as they bring it to you, as they come to receive your strength in your very own body and blood. Lord, in your mercy. Grant us, O Lord, a steadfast faith in Jesus Christ, a cheerful hope in your mercy, and a sincere love for you and our neighbors. Although we are not worthy of your benefits, you give them to us anyways. Accept our sacrifice of thanks, together with the offerings that we return to you in faith this day, that we would not be fruitless and ungrateful, but that we would magnify by your grace, your love. Lord, in your mercy. Lord God, Heavenly Father, you work the salvation of the world through the death of your dear Son, and you work out your holy purposes through the deaths of your saints. Make us faithful unto death, so that we receive the fulfillment of all your promises through the same Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Please be seated. We come to the time in our service for our tithes and offerings. As the offerings are collected and presented this morning, we invite you to turn to hymn 781 as we sing, "We Give Thee But Thine Own."
Thank you for joining our service today at Trinity Lutheran Church in Alamosa, Colorado. We hope this worship service has been a blessing to you. If you would like to support our ministry, please visit our website by searching Trinity Lutheran Church Alamosa. On our website, click the link for Apple or Android devices to upload our app to your phone or tablet. Our app has many resources to help you. Thank you. And may the Lord bless you this week.
KSPK, Walsenburg, Alamosa, and Trinidad, Southern Colorado's best country music. It's 11 o'clock.
ABC News, I'm Mike Dubusky. The UN Security Council is holding an emergency meeting in New York City today discussing the future of Israel's war in Gaza. It comes after Friday's decision by the Israeli Security Cabinet to approve Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu's plan to begin enhanced military operations around Gaza City. Earlier today, Netanyahu responded to fears that this will worsen the humanitarian crisis in Gaza.
Contrary to false claims, this is the best way to end the war and the best way to end it speedily.
This week, all eyes will be on Alaska, where President Trump is set for a high-stakes meeting with Russian President Vladimir Putin. NATO Secretary General Mark Rutte spoke with ABC's This Week.
We have to acknowledge at this moment that Russia is controlling some of Ukrainian territory. And the question will be how to go forward past a ceasefire, including what it means in terms of security guarantees for Ukraine.
This is ABC News.
Living and loving KSPK country and Southern Colorado's best country music, KSPK.
Even weren't your tires leaving me in the dust. If you weren't the kind that you only find once, then the burn of this bourbon wouldn't be hurt. back. Yeah, you were for certain the best thing I